Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Pastor Josh is phenomenal, and I am honored to stand where he stands to preach this morning. So, as Lucinda said, I'm the adult discipleship pastor at Meredith Drive at the Bridge in Johnston, and I love preaching at churches that are not the church that I'm the pastor at, because I get to pick what I preach that is the thing that I'm most passionate about, and you guys aren't tired of hearing it from me yet. So that's really good. So before we get started diving into the Word today, would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. We are drawn to your kindness and your radical compassion for us, and we know that your purpose in every space and in every season is to seek and save those who are lost. And so in all of the places in our lives today where we feel lost, the places where we feel forgotten or confused, would you find us and would you save us again today? And for those beyond the walls of this building who feel lost, would you give us compassion and open doors for us to show your hospitality and your love? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the story that we're looking at today may be familiar to many of you. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Now, if you're like me, it's hard to not start singing the Sunday school song about Zacchaeus whenever you hear his name, right? I considered starting the sermon by singing, but since we don't know each other, I felt like that was probably not the impression that I wanted to give you right off the bat, because that would just be awkward for all of us, right? But that's not the only reason that I'm not going to sing the song. The other reason is because the things that you might know about Zacchaeus from the song, like that he's a wee little man, are some of the least important details about Zacchaeus. So to give you a bit of background, I want to jump into this with a glimpse of how the readers of this story would have first seen Zacchaeus. You know, in Disney movies or other animated shows where they make it like really obvious who you're supposed to be suspicious of and who you're supposed to cheer for? Like in Aladdin, you've got Jafar who's got this creepy pointed facial hair and he walks around with a snake staff. Like, this guy's not to be trusted, right? Or you've got this creepy dissonant organ music playing in the background when the villain comes in. Or when you watch Encanto, and I know we're not supposed to talk about Bruno, but right, they're making Bruno, they give him the green eyes and he's like all hunched over and really creepy in that song. Like, they make it really obvious that he is supposed to be a villain of some kind, and that you have a predisposition against these people before they do anything. And that's the way that the readers of Luke are going to feel about Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector, and he's rich, so he's for sure going to be the bad guy in this story. Because in Luke's gospel, it's often the case that anytime someone is rich, they don't respond very well to Jesus. Before this story in Luke, Jesus told his disciples that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke, rich people have often been depicted as choosing money over Jesus and have neglected the needs of the poor people around them. And additionally, tax collectors in this time period were hated just by everybody because they were employed by Rome to gather taxes from people. But the way that they made money was to charge more than what Rome asked for, and they could keep the extra money for themselves, so they could set any price that they wanted. So tax collectors were generally thought of as liars and thieves, and they were not trusted by the people. So knowing that background, listen to the first two verses of Luke 19. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. So right from the start, right, the readers of Luke are going to think that this guy is going to be the bad guy in the story. He is at the best to be viewed with suspicion, and at the worst, he is going to be hated. And we'll see this later in the story at the reaction of the crowd. Zacchaeus is supposed to be the bad guy. And that's what makes Jesus' encounter with him so beautiful and so unexpected. So let's listen now to the rest of the story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, for this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." So Jesus is passing through this region, Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem. And this is actually the last encounter that Jesus has before entering Jerusalem for the last time to be killed. And in this crucial time, Jesus chooses to stay at the house of the town villain. And if you'll notice, Jesus made that choice before Zacchaeus has done anything to indicate that he's planning to change. Literally, all Zacchaeus has done at this point is to be curious enough to climb a tree. There's no indication that Zacchaeus intends to change his lifestyle, no indication that he intends to follow Jesus. He was just curious. This text says he wanted to see who Jesus was. And apparently, that's all that it takes for Jesus to pursue him. See, Zacchaeus didn't push his way through the crowds towards Jesus. He didn't holler out. He didn't come to the synagogue where Jesus was. He didn't ask questions like people in other stories in the gospel. He just climbed a distant tree so that he could look, but not be in the midst of the people that despised him, so that he could see Jesus, but not have to talk to him and not have to have himself exposed. Because when you're unsure how people are going to respond to you or how Jesus is going to respond to you, it's easier to climb a tree in the distance than to start a conversation, right? It's easier to sit in the back and duck out quickly than engage in small talk. It's easier to read or watch things from your laptop than to get tangled up in a crowd or to get tangled up in prayer. And I find myself, like Zacchaeus, often being curious from a safe distance. When I first moved out to California to go to grad school a few years ago, I climbed a lot of trees. Now, not literally, obviously, because palm trees are like impossible to climb. But I observed from the sidelines, and I sat in the back of church by myself, and I listened in on meetings at the seminary on topics why young people are leaving the church, or should Christians be engaged in the Black Lives Matter movement, or Christian participation in Hollywood, is that good or bad? I was curious, but I rarely said anything, because those are some scary conversations to enter into, right? You don't know how people are going to respond. You don't know if you're right or wrong in the conversation, and I think that in all of those conversations, I was curious enough, and I wanted to see who Jesus was. I wanted to see what his followers were saying about what it means to follow him well, but I didn't want to actually engage in a way that was vulnerable, because I was afraid of the response of the crowds, and watching from a metaphorical tree felt safer. And so for a while, even my relationship with God happened from the safe distance of theological concepts and Bible study conversations and within the bounds of classroom assignments. And to be really honest with you, that is still an easier place for me to engage, just from my head, right? Just thinking about the concepts and the things. But Jesus, in those times, would come up to me and try to calm me down from the tree. I would often look back and say, "No, I think I'm good, Jesus. Who knows what would happen if I try to climb down and engage with you or the people that follow you right now? Who knows what would happen if I tried to pray right now? Who knows what would happen if you came to stay at my house?" See, I think we all climb trees with different intentions, right? But Zacchaeus For his intention, his climb was motivated by curiosity. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And the Holy Spirit prompted Jesus to see the curiosity behind his climb. That small amount of curiosity was all that Jesus needed to go up to Zacchaeus. And if you'll notice in the story, Jesus did not start his conversation with Zacchaeus by preaching at him. He did not start his conversation by addressing the probable injustice that Zacchaeus was participating in. Jesus doesn't label Zacchaeus or call him out, and he doesn't make sure that everyone in the crowd knows that he knows what camp Zacchaeus lands in. Jesus instead begins by inviting Zacchaeus into a relationship. I mentioned the Zacchaeus song before, and the more I read and study this story, the more beef I have with the song, you guys. Because for those of you who know it, in the song, when Jesus approaches Zacchaeus in the tree, the tone of the song changes, right? And you put on your most grumpy and forceful voice, and you speak for Jesus, and you say, "Zacchaeus, you come down," right? And I've got to tell you, that is not the Jesus that I know. The Jesus that I know and the Jesus that is described in this story is a man who is full of kindness. And he pursues the man in the tree with really gracious intentions, not to call him out or to heap obligations on him. Jesus goes out of his way to find the one that everyone else was avoiding, to save him and to bring him to freedom. So two of the trees that I climb the most frequently are ways that I'm trying to keep myself safe, right? That's the metaphor we're working with. Are trying to please people all the time and trying to do everything perfectly. Those things can kind of keep you at a safe distance, right? And let me tell you that there are all kinds of sins of pride and fear and anxiety and judgment from me up in those trees. And one of the first times that I recognized Jesus calling me down from those attempts at self-protection and into a relationship with him was in college. It came through a variety of voices. It came through my aunt and uncle, who consistently invited me into their home and around conversations in their table. And it came from a mentor who insisted that Jesus wanted to care for me and love me even when I stopped doing things for other people. And it came through times of prayer where Jesus repeatedly led me to Bible verses and songs about rest and peace and dependence on him instead of over-functioning to try to protect myself or others. And when Jesus walked up to those trees for me, he had every right to condemn my sins of pride and self-sufficiency. But that's not what he did. He didn't point his finger at me and put on his grumpy voice, right? He spoke kindly to me, and he invited me to rest. He invited me into relationship with him, just like he did for Zacchaeus. And Jesus is pursuing every person here in this room with kindness. No one is the exception to that rule. See, the readers in Luke at this point might start to think that they've got it figured out. They might think, okay, so the rich people are the bad guys. Jesus stays close to the poor, and he's always coming down hard on the rich, because honestly, in Luke, that's pretty true most of the time. But his last act, before he went to Jerusalem to be killed for the sake of every human, Jesus makes it clear that no person is written off by God. No person is unwanted. No person is unnecessary. No person is to be treated like garbage, whether they have participated in injustice, whether they have become stuck in a cycle of addiction, whether they have become estranged from their family, whether they are prostitutes or thieves, Democrats or Republicans, penniless or millionaires. Jesus has come to pursue all of them with kindness. Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost, no matter who the lost are. And Jesus walks straight up to the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed up into, and he extends him an invitation. And not only that, what I love about this story is that Jesus takes a position of humility and dependence and vulnerability. He basically says, hey, can you come out of your tree? I need a place to stay tonight, right? Can I stay with you? Can I stay at your house? Jesus does not, as the song implies, take a position of power over Zacchaeus. He puts himself at the mercy of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus responds to him, and he makes himself vulnerable to need the hospitality that Zacchaeus could offer. And as a side note that I'm not going to go deep into because we don't have the time, but I'm just going to put this question out there because I wonder what that posture of Jesus means for our discipleship practices. Could the Holy Spirit be saying to us today that part of discipleship means allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with other people? Could the Holy Spirit be asking you to accept invitations into other people's spaces rather than always expecting people to come with us into ours? Right? Could we begin to think of discipleship as starting in cubicles or bars or playgrounds through the invitation to friendship? Perhaps. It's at least one of the approaches that Jesus takes to discipleship. So I'll return to my previous point. Jesus extends an invitation to relationship to Zacchaeus and says, before Zacchaeus says that he's going to change anything that he's doing. Right? He doesn't wait for Zacchaeus to return a bunch of money to people before desiring his company. He doesn't wait for people to start coming to church before he starts pursuing them. He doesn't wait for people to adopt a statement of beliefs before opening his arms and his grace and his life to them. Jesus is always coming to seek and to save the lost. And what's interesting then is this idea of saving in the story. If Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost, what does that actually mean? What is he saving them from? What is he saving them to? I think it's important to understand that on some level in Scripture, this concept of salvation always has a big picture definition, right? Jesus is always saving us from the effects of sin so that we can experience the fullness of joy that comes from being united with God for eternity. But in this passage, I think there are some other implications of salvation as well. Because you see, Zacchaeus encountered the kindness and the meekness and the pursuit of Jesus, and something changed in him. Not only did he climb down from his tree and take the risk to be in closer relationship with Jesus and with people, not only did he surrender his safe distance from the crowds, he was actually motivated to change his behavior. And I don't know that repentance and salvation are very deeply different concepts in this passage. Because part of the thing with sin is that it doesn't just corrupt our insides. It doesn't just separate us from God. It actually starts tangibly affecting our relationships and the systems in the world around us. It starts a domino effect of decay and mistrust. It makes us build walls of self-protection that separate us from each other. Have we seen this or what in the past year? It is way easier to let our sin start keeping us farther and building up walls between people than it is to enter relationship with them. Sin keeps motivating us to climb our trees and stay at safe distances, so we end up far away from each other and unable to see each other well, to reconcile and rebuild. It's just a vicious cycle. And so when Jesus proclaims that today salvation has come to this house, maybe part of what he means is that the acts of repentance, of giving back money that he had stolen, had begun a current reality type of salvation. Zacchaeus started moving back towards people that it would have been easier to keep moving away from. Surely the acts of returning money to those that he had wronged would begin to build bridges. And perhaps he would be restored in some ways to a community that had estranged him. Perhaps this repentance that included a change of action is one of the ways that Jesus was saving Zacchaeus. I am friends with a few people who have struggled with various kinds of addiction. and who have participated in 12-step programs that help restore sanity of their lives. And in any form of addiction, it's easy to see how these patterns begin to harm more than just the addicted person. Shame becomes really pervasive, and shame leads people to cover things up and lie, and these lies hurt other people and relationships are damaged. And part of the 12-step program for recovery is to begin to make amends to people that have been harmed by your addiction. If you've stolen money, you return it. If you have broken trust, you start the process of showing that you are now trustworthy. And this process of acting differently, in many cases, actually begins to restore what has been damaged. And it seems like that's a part of what's going on in our story with Zacchaeus today. Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost, but this salvation does not just have implications for eternity, it has implications for the present moment. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, and Jesus showed him. Jesus is a friend who extends hospitality. He keeps company with sinners, and he does not shy away from the people that society rejects. That is who Jesus is. And that experience of Jesus led Zacchaeus to start rethinking everything. He rethought his relationship to the people around him. He rethought the ways he had distanced himself from Jesus and community, and he changed. And that change brought transformation in his relationships. It brought transformation in Zacchaeus, and it brought a type of salvation to a whole community of people. Bridges of trust that had been burned were being rebuilt. And all of this because Jesus initiated a conversation with a villainized man in a tree. And Jesus is still initiating these conversations with every person in this room today because Jesus is always coming again and again to seek and to save the lost. And friends, as Christians, we are always in the position of both Zacchaeus and Jesus. We are Zacchaeus because we are always climbing trees. In every stage of our life, even those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time have the urge in many places to keep at a safe distance. Maybe we have been hurt by the crowds on the way to see Jesus. Maybe we have tried to pray or tried to be vulnerable with God and felt like he just didn't speak or listen or respond. Maybe we have put distance between ourselves and others. We are like Zacchaeus. Because we always, in every season, need Jesus to keep calling us back down, to keep inviting himself into our homes. But we, as believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, are also representatives of Christ. And we have the privilege to get to be the voice of Jesus calling other people down from their trees. We, like Jesus, are to go pursuing those that society avoids, to move towards people that it would be easier to move away from. We are called to go to seek and to save the lost, and perhaps today we need to be reminded that that seeking and saving does not need to be overthought. Look in the trees around you. Look in cubicles or neighboring houses or stands of a little league game. Look for the young people who are standing alone at the back of the service. Look for the addicts and the single parents, and look for those who seem to have it all together. Because the trees are full of people that are hungry for the kindness and the hospitality of Jesus. The trees are full of people who long for salvation to come to their daily lives. And so, as you prepare to go today, be blessed in the ways that you are like Zacchaeus and you are in need of the pursuit of Jesus. It's a vulnerable place, and it's not an easy place to acknowledge. But I wonder if for some of you today, the invitation is, as we worship in this last song, to take some space to say, where am I far? Where am I unwilling to move down towards Jesus? Where am I unwilling to move down towards other people? And let the Holy Spirit be at work in that space in you. And as you go, would you be blessed in the ways that you are a representative of Jesus, inviting others to come down from their trees? Would you and would I and would the church be a group of people that are safe enough, that are inviting people enough so that they would come out of their trees and experience the love and the salvation that Jesus offers? Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that even in the person of Jesus, you moved out of heaven and you came down and you became vulnerable and you became willing to be impacted and affected by people who might hurt you. That you were willing to be that vulnerable for the sake of love and for the sake of people experiencing your salvation. And so, God, for those of us in this space today who are in need of your kindness, calling us back toward yourself, Holy Spirit, would you soften our hearts? Would you make us open and vulnerable and willing to receive your invitation? And would you make us willing to invite you into our homes? And God, for those of us today who feel stirred to be your hands and feet, inviting other people in, would your Spirit go before us, making us people who are filled with love and grace and people who look like Jesus and how we interact with the world. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.